Before we get into the message, man, I'm going to blow myself out of the water here because before, I'll tell you all this. Before we even went into the service, I was talking with the worship team, and I said, my goal is to try to keep things around an hour, not to go really long because of people online. And Julie said, if the Spirit leads you, go where you want to go. So sorry, people, we're going there. I have two people I want to talk with who are in here today, and they don't know this, and I didn't know this until we were doing worship. And it'll go along a little bit with the message, but, and Kelly, I know I don't always tell you and Lisa what the message is and where we're going with it, but this is going to sound really stupid to say it this way, but listen real closely, because every song you have up there goes exactly with what's here. I like it when the Spirit leads, and we don't plan things, and we don't work all this stuff out, but they go together. So two people in here. I'm going to start with Delaney. Hi, Delaney. She's a senior this year, and yeah, exactly. And who would have ever thought when she graduated, when all this other stuff, that school and whatever it is the way it is today. So questions for you. How is school going? You can take it off and talk. And I may, wait. Oh, you have a mic, because Lisa's not here, so she actually has one. Okay, yeah.
It's going all right. It's online right now, and I have two classes a day that are 2 hours each. And so every class I only have once a week. There hasn't been too much homework yet, but I'm sure it'll add up quick. Yeah. That's...
Okay. A couple of things. Now, Delaney is also in band.
Yes.
And what else? I know there's choir.
Yes.
And also in dance, or it's not cheerleading, it's dance. And some of those things, like how do you do dance virtually and stuff like that? Can you tell us a little bit about some of that?
Okay. No. for dance, we are doing online meetings, and so we're all in our own homes and we're video chatting. And so if we have been learning a dance or multiple dances, and because of the delay, it's really weird, but we're all learning at our own pace. And we have a page where we can post like the dance videos that we've been doing so everyone can learn if they missed something from the video. And then with band and choir, we're going to be practicing during class, but everyone's going to be muted. So we don't know if we're making mistakes, which is going to be really hard. So we have a lot of learning on our own time that we have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay, last question for you, then I'll let you off the hook and stuff. As you go through this school year, are you going to be able to gather together as a group? I guess there'll be a bunch of questions. Then how are you going to do your dance competitions? How do you do your band competitions or your choir competitions? How is all that going to take place?
I don't know.
Good answer. Okay, the next person that I want to talk with, some of, and I've not really had the chance to talk with her. Yeah, she already knows. Really, since she's been back, and I'll say it this way. For someone who's kind of introverted, which is really strange to tell you that I am, but actually this pandemic is pretty good because I basically go to work and come here and then go home. I don't have to go anywhere else. I don't really have to talk with people if I don't want to. If I want to talk with somebody, I can make it a point to go see them, but I don't have to other than that. But the person I want to talk with is Erin. And she can get a microphone that's close because she's sitting back by Tim, who actually runs the sound and sings during worship so that we have the male voice going. So Tim is like multitasking. So Erin, you recently got back from Korea.
Yep.
What are you doing now that you are back here?
I've mostly just been working on getting kind of everything resettled back in the U.S., which I still, luckily I just found out today that the boat shipping from Korea has now opened, so okay. I will be getting a crap ton of supplies of things sent from my boyfriend back in Korea over to the U.S., so that'll be fun to sort through everything, but I have been applying to different jobs and trying to find things, which in the field of education, as Delaney was just saying, is kind of crazy right now. Yeah. So most of the positions that I've been trying to apply to are not really available, or I have no clue how they're supposed to be run as an educational assistant who's supposed to be helping things in person in classes. I don't know how they're supposed to run that with everything online.
Yeah.
But most of the positions have either just been, I'll get random emails saying the position is filled or we're not filling this position anymore. So just been looking through a lot of different things, trying to get a position, but nothing's really happened. And so I currently actually have an interview for Target tomorrow in the morning.
All right.
So I'll probably work at Target.
Wait.
Hey.
Delaney actually works at Target as well right now and stuff like that. So you're here, you're wanting to get a job and stuff like that, but your longer term goal is to go back to school and get your master's?
Yes.
How is that?
That luckily doesn't start until June, so hopefully that things will be more cleared up by June, but I still have no idea. However, I still have one class that I have to get done before then, which I'm going to probably do during winter term, so January, February time.
Okay.
I'll do one single class, and then I'll be applying during that time. While I'm doing that class, I'll be applying to graduate school, which will start in June and go for a year.
All right.
Full-on intensive.
Awesome. Okay. Now, kind of take all of that right into the message, because we live in a world that seems less and less uncertain. We don't really know what's going to go. None of us would have expected 2020 to be the way it is with this pandemic and then recently with all these fires. And many of us were so over with 2020. You know, there's all these memes and all these things out there saying, can we get a mulligan? Can we just jump to 2021 and things like that? You know, some of us are probably taking odds. In Vegas, they're probably doing this, trying to find out what's the next thing that's going to hit. Is it an earthquake? Is it a flood? What's going to happen next? We have no clue what is going on. Even in our own lives, we have these struggles. We have this turmoil within our own personal lives. Things where we really don't know what's going to happen. Delaney doesn't know what's going to happen with school, with her dance, with other things. And I know there's others in who are caught up in that, who are dealing with that. With Aaron and trying to find jobs and work, we don't know what's going to take place. For some of us, we do not know when we are going to be able to travel to the Philippines again. And we want to go so bad, right? Yeah. And some of you know who I'm talking about. And I want to be there. If I could be there now, I would. It just is not really feasible to travel. And I know there's somebody else who wants to be there even more. And so we don't know about all this travel. There's so much uncertainty. And we don't know what's going to take place. So how do we prepare ourselves for what seems like a very uncertain future? Well, some people go into hiding and seclusion. There are some people who go and they're going to build bomb shelters and keep an emergency stock of food. You know, Lisa and I, if you go to our house, we have cans of Spam laying around. We have rice and we have other things. Maybe that's from growing up on the island of Guam where you never knew what was going to happen. So we tend to be a little bit prepared in that area. There are some people who go and they make themselves completely independent of water and electricity and electronics. Basically, they want to try to go off-grid in case some natural disaster takes place and we don't have any of that stuff. Now, some of these things are not bad ideas. In fact, there are some very practical ways that we can prepare for the future and these future catastrophes that just seem to make good sense. So today, as we continue working our way through Acts, we're going to look at Paul and his life. Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. And we're going to be talking about preparing for your future. See, as we walk with the Lord, we need to learn to trust Him with our future. How can we prepare ourselves for what lies ahead? We're going to talk again about Paul's life. And as we see him in his journey, he's been warned about some bad news, some stuff that's going to take place that's ahead of him. But he's also assured of God's promise that God is going to be with him no matter what. It's really the main idea that I want us to think about and to keep in our minds as we go through today. Our preparation for the future must be based on God's loving presence, His good plan for our lives. So let's look at a few principles that are evident in our scripture this morning. Because God often uses other believers to help prepare us for the future. Let's dig into our scripture if you have your Bibles ready. Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. It reads like this. After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went on to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. You see, Paul and his companions, they spent a week, an entire 7 days with the disciples, with the believers who were there in Tyre. Bible scholars tell us that Paul was probably sailing on some large freighter. And the reasoning behind that is because they estimate that it would take about 7 days to manually offload a large freighter. But whether that's the case or not, what we do know is that Paul had 7 days with these believers to spend with them in Tyre. It's located in modern-day Lebanon. Now, we don't know much about the church that is there, but church history tells us after the time of the apostles that this church, it became a very important center for the Christian faith. It appears to be a fulfillment that is found, a scripture that's found in Psalms chapter 87, verse 4. It lists Tyre as one of the cities that would know God in the future. So how did the gospel get all the way to Tyre? Well, the first wave probably came the day after Pentecost, the year that Jesus Christ was died and when he resurrected. Thousands of Jews, they would make the journey all the way to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And while they were there, they may have seen or heard about all that had taken place with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then when it was over, they would have gone home and they would have shared that with other people who were there in Tyre. The second wave probably came after the stoning of Stephen, after Stephen was killed by the Sanhedrin. And then there's this great persecution that breaks out. Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message of the only to Jews." Phoenicia is modern-day Lebanon. And that is exactly where Tyre is located. So the church in Tyre seems to be pretty well established by the time Paul and his companions get there. Now Paul, he gets to spend 7 days with these believers. And he probably teaches them. He probably spends time encouraging them, telling them to keep their lives on track and in line with Jesus. Because that's exactly what he did at all the churches that he went and he visited with. But these believers, they didn't just sit passively around while Paul did all the ministering. Some of them were actually hearing from the Lord as the Lord was speaking to them. The Holy Spirit had revealed to them that Paul was going to face some problems in Jerusalem. And so being the normal human beings that they were, they warned Paul that he should not go to Jerusalem. Avoid it at all costs, they're telling him. But what I want to point out from these verses is that any of us can hear from God. If we are just willing to listen, we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us and guiding us and directing us. Now, sometimes we hear from the Lord, but we're not really quite sure what to do with it. Just like these Christians. They got the basic message right, that Paul was facing some suffering. There was going to be some hardship that lay ahead of him. But they didn't understand that the suffering that was ahead of him, it was okay. It needed to happen. Perhaps the Holy Spirit had revealed these things to them there so that they could pray for Paul, that they could encourage him, that they could lift him up as he's on his journey and pray for the people that Paul is going to minister to while he is there. But the point is this. God speaks through fellow believers to us to help prepare us for the things that are yet to come. Some of the things we don't know about. But how else does God prepare us for the future? Well, God invented prayer to help prepare us for the future. The next verse, verse 5, it reads like this. "When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt to pray." Now, there's no doubt that this is not the first time in the seven-day period that this group gathers together to pray. I can just imagine that they had, in the 7 days, had some great times of worship, of prayer, of intercession, where they're praying for God to guide them and to lead them, to give them some direction. Prayer, it is a gift that is from God. It is His idea. And we call on Him from our hearts. Sometimes words don't even know what to say, and yet our hearts do. And God hears our heart, and He responds to our heart's cry. Prayer brings us before God and before His throne of grace. The writer in Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need." See, prayer, it changes us. It changes our life situation. It changes how we see things. Prayer doesn't change God. God is unchanging. He always wants to help us. You see, prayer, it also helps us to get to know God. Prayer is how we talk to the Lord and how He's able to respond to us and how we can hear what it is that He is saying to us. Prayer, it is what keeps our relationship with God on track. It keeps us up to date. It keeps us fresh with what God is doing and where He wants us to go. The next point is similar, but it has its own little uniqueness. And that is that sometimes God raises up prophetic voices to prepare us for the future. Verses 6 through 12, Acts 21, they read like this. "After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed in Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. We had been there a number of days. A prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, 'The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem." So in spite of the many wannabe prophets that are out there, the many people who are simply out there trying to draw attention to themselves, there really are prophets. Even today, people that God speaks to and that God speaks through, they really do hear from the Lord. And just like the people in Tyre, sometimes the problem is not the message. Sometimes it is what we do with the message. Sometimes it is how we interpret it. Sometimes it is how we understand it. As Paul is staying here at Philip's house, we're not told what Philip's four daughters, these prophetesses, had to say, what they prophesied, what they heard from God, and what they have spoken to Paul. We simply know that they prophesied. But we can read exactly what Agabus came down and what he had to say. God's word to Paul through Agabus, it was not out of line with what God has already been saying to Paul. Let's look back a few verses in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. Paul is speaking to the elders in Ephesus, and he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." So the Holy Spirit is urging Paul to go to Jerusalem, is compelling Paul that he has to make his way to Jerusalem. But the Spirit also warned him, both personally, through the disciples, and now even through a prophet, that he was going to be imprisoned. He's going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He is going to face hardship and trials. Now, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. I think it's the exact opposite. I think the Holy Spirit is actually preparing Paul for what lies ahead of him, what he's going to have to face. And so what is Paul's response to facing this hardship? Well, in Acts chapter 20, the very next verse, verse 24, remember Paul is speaking, he says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me." the task of testifying the good news of God's grace. You see, Paul, he's ready to do whatever it takes, whatever it would take to share the good news about Jesus with anybody that God leads his way. Now, if we back up a long way into Acts chapter 9, you may remember that Saul is out persecuting God's church. And he has a vision, and he sees Jesus. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, God is telling Ananias to go and see Saul. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." You see, Paul knew exactly what it was that God was calling him to do. And he went willing to lay down his life. And the Holy Spirit gave Paul at least two very specific warnings for him about the trials that lay ahead of him. You see, God will sometimes speak to us about the future. He may speak to us through Scripture as we're studying. He may speak to us in a time when we're spending time in prayer. He may even speak to us through someone else as they're given the gift of insight or the gift of prophecy. He may use those as times to prepare us for what lies ahead of us. And as we see in Paul's example, sometimes personal safety is not always the most important thing. God may want to do something far bigger than simply keeping us safe. There may be some of us even here today who will have to face a life or death situation for the sake of the good news in order to share the gospel. But there is ultimately only one thing that should determine how we approach the future, and that is that God wants his will to guide us toward the future. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we started on our way to Jerusalem. You may remember that Luke is traveling with Paul at this time, and even he seems to join in trying to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But they're not successful. And why not? Because Paul knew that he had heard from God. He'd heard from the Holy Spirit, and he knew that God's will was taking him to Jerusalem. That's where he had to go. See, there may be times in your own life where you are wrestling with this issue of trying to find God's will for your life. Lord, please show me your will. Show me what it is you want me to do. You find yourself in this turmoil and this continual wrestling match with God. And you pray and you pray and you ask him. You never seem to get a clear direction. You don't seem to know exactly what he wants you to do. At some point you begin to realize that God's able to take care of the bigger picture, far bigger than you can ever see. Begin to realize that what you really need to do is walk with the Lord today. What does he want you to do right now, right where you're at? And then leave the rest of it up to him. If you live according to his will today, in the here and now, the long term, it can take care of itself. God knows what it's going to be. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray, we shouldn't ask God for a specific direction or for a greater revelation. We should definitely do that. But again, if we live right now in the center of God's will today, if I know I am in God's will for my life right now, then we can find ourselves in the bigger picture, his bigger plan for our lives. He can open doors. He can provide opportunities. He can guide us and direct us if we're living where we need to be right now. If we continue to follow his purpose from today, he can take us there. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 reads like this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." It really comes down to saying, "Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. Wherever you send me, I'm willing to go." Does any of that sound even vaguely familiar? That's exactly what Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he went, he had to face the cross. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." We might pray the exact same thing. "Lord, I'm not sure I really want to go through all the problems, all the pain, all the turmoil and the struggles. Please find another way if it's at all possible. And yet not what I want, but what you want." I hope that's your prayer this morning. As you look to an unknown future, not really knowing what's going to happen, God can be using fellow believers to help give you some direction, to help you prepare for the future. He may be using other people to speak into your lives, prophetic voices. He may be wanting you to spend more time in prayer following after him. But ultimately, God wants you to face the future with his will as the single most important factor in your life, the thing that drives you the most. See, if you include God in all of your future hopes, your dreams, your plans, then he can guide you. He can lead you. He can direct you. You will be right where he wants you to be. If you're on that path, following after Jesus, in the very end, when you get to the end of this life, God will be there with arms wide open, waiting to meet you and to greet you and to say, "Well done." You will be right there with Jesus face to face. Are you willing to follow after Jesus? Are you willing to go where he calls you to go? No matter what the future holds, if you stick close to him, he can guide you.